Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 4 of the Hall of Fame Hoops podcast. This is your host, JL2, and today we've got a lot to talk about in terms of the NBA. Let's dive right into this. All right, so it's been a very long week. It's been about a week and 2 days since last Sunday. So yeah, a week and 2 days since I last made a podcast. So a lot has happened. A lot has changed. A lot of teams have improved. A lot of teams haven't done anything at all. Some teams have shown more promise, and the Golden State Warriors are beginning to look more and more ridiculous every single day. So I made a preseason prediction in the Ramble Fest that the NBA this season was a throw-up. There was really no knowing who was going to win, who was going to lose, who was going to take the dub, and who was going to take the L. There really was no way to tell, because I felt like every team was not evenly matched. I mean, there's obviously, you know, some teams you could tell that aren't going to make the playoffs. My list used to be 2 of them. Now it looks like 4 lockdown teams that aren't going to make the playoffs. But it's still going to be fun watching the entire season. Like, there's going to be a lot of upsets this season. Like, between teams. Like, teams you didn't think could beat other teams. That's going to happen. That Monday, I think one of the most memorable games to watch, my opinion, which I learned a lot from, was the Spurs and Lakers game. Man, when I tell you that I feel so bad for LeBron missing those free throws, because knowing the weight that LeBron carries around, you know, Skip Bayless tore him up the next morning. But there's been a lot of promise with the Lakers throughout the, you know, this season. They're 2-5 right now. But they still, to me, look like they don't need to fix too much. Well, I don't want to say too much, but it doesn't look like it's impossible. Like, do you think a team like the Phoenix Suns can pick themselves up and make the playoffs? You think the Cavs could turn in, you know, 360 turn it around? Like, I feel like the Lakers will 360 turn it around, and once they figure it out, watch out. Once they can consistently on a nightly basis find some type of defensive flow, and then Kuzma and Ingram, I'm not even saying LeBron, Kuzma and Ingram can give you 20 a night, there's no stopping this team. Because you know LeBron's going to go get his points. LeBron's going to get his 20. So that's 60 points right there. You're counting for every game, and that's the bare minimum, 20. They could score way more than that, too. And then something I don't like, and I really liked Rondo, but then I started realizing, okay, Luke Walton's playing Rondo with LeBron and Lonzo Ball, but all three of them are ball-dominant players. So is Lance Stephenson. They kind of need the ball to perform and kind of only have one ball, and that didn't work too well in OKC. But it's more like in other teams, like in OKC, you could put Melo out on the perimeter, you could put Paul George out on the perimeter, and you don't really trust him, but I still trust Westbrook more to take a shot than Rondo. But you can't do nothing with Rondo. Lonzo, you possibly can. He's been very improved this season. So, yeah, you could throw him in for a spot-up shot. But Rondo, what do you do if Rondo doesn't have the ball? He's not orchestrating the offense. Rondo's only true value is on the defensive end. And then there, I mean, he hasn't been terrible. He just looks, I think as a unit, they all look bad. They look shaky. But Rondo's been pretty good defensively. So it's LeBron. Shout out to LeBron. He's been playing a lot of power forward, center, small forward, shooting guard, point. He's been playing all 5 positions. Maybe he won't be subbing in at that position, but he's basically doing, you know, all the jobs of those positions. And shout out to LeBron for making JaVale McGee look like an all-star as well, because McGee's very, very improved. Getting that 3-point shot, people are starting to respect it a lot and starting to make guard that entire squad at the same time very difficult. But they'll figure it out. But Derrick Rose came out today talking about it was him and it was Nick Anderson. Or, no, it wasn't. I know, jeez, I can't remember. I think it was, I literally just had his name in my head. Dennis Scott? Dennis Scott, I'm pretty sure it was Dennis Scott. Yeah. Yeah, we're going to go with Dennis Scott. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong, whatever. It's too late now. But they were talking today about their game and about what Rose's expectations were this season. And his response was actually something I really wanted to hear. And I think Jimmy Butler wanted to hear this too. His own personal goal was to win Sixth Man of the Year. And why do I think this is so like big news? It's because Derrick Rose is considered done. I don't think so. I think Rose could still give to this game. He's still got a game to give coming off the bench. And I think this might play a role in the Butler situation. The whole Butler drama, maybe he'll stay. Which, now that I kind of double think about it, if I'm Butler, I'd stay. Karl-Anthony Towns, is he playing terrible? No. But I've realized he's been missing a lot of just easy, I feel like very easy looks. I'm not an NBA player. I'm not an NBA center. I could be wrong. They could be tough looks. But I mean, I've been watching basketball long enough to know, you know, hey, that's an easy layup. Like just some mismatches and some certain putbacks on offensive rebounds that I feel like Karl-Anthony Towns should be able to finish if he's this, you know, elite center and we're trying to put him in the top three, top five conversation between today's centers. I feel like that's something you have to have, you know, the ability to finish easy buckets down low, because getting offensive rebounds and then putting up, you know, a nice little, you know, nice little layup is very, very useful. I gotta stop saying that was the last of the day, alright? We're cutting that off. Anyways. The whole Minnesota thing is messed up because there's so much talent on this team and potential. But it's like these guys, like Butler's done. Like he doesn't want any parts of this. Although they are improving as a whole, like as the entire unit of itself as the Minnesota Timberwolves, I've seen a lot of improvement. Things I saw at the beginning of the season I didn't like. They couldn't guard for their lives. They look like they could guard now. I mean, they can't stop Giannis. I don't know what it is, but Giannis is like the Timberwolves killer. We saw that in preseason. I thought, oh, this is just preseason, you know? No. They came back and they put in the same work again and got the same big dub again. So, at the same time, in the middle of the week, as I'm thinking, as Butler hit a dagger last night, news broke out about 2 or 3 days ago that Daryl Morey is actually going all out for Butler, right? This is Daryl Morey's logic. I can put all the chips on the table and get Jimmy Butler right now. And then we can contend and win a championship right now. I can leave him there and wait till next offseason, and there's going to be a lot more competition. So he's trying to go all out, but here's the thing. People are going to call me stupid, but it's fine. I don't care. Jimmy Butler won't win the Rockets a championship because as good as Butler is, he isn't the defense they need. All right? They don't need somebody else to score points. Butler's good on both ends of the floor. But they really don't need that right now. What they really need is to collect themselves and figure out defensively. Mike D'Antoni has to figure out what he wants to do. We can go on and on as much as we want about the Timberwolves and about the Rockets and about, okay, just trade for Jimmy Butler and have, no. I don't think it's going to work. It's an experiment that it's a risk I'm not willing to take. And especially the fact that the Timberwolves have made it very vocal. Eric Gordon has to be in the trade, and no. I'm sorry, but Carmelo's not going to come off the bench. He's better in the starting lineup. Then you have no bench. Now you're zippity-zoopity screwed, and you got nothing to do. That rhymed. Somebody give me a label deal. Anyways. So it's just like, it's counterproductive, I almost feel like. What they need is perimeter defense. Okay, they look like they had picked it up, and then they went to bed again. And then they started getting slaughtered again. Clippers, they've been getting blown out basically like every other game. They just get blown out, like they just cannot defend. And then we also have to put in perspective that Daryl Morey's initial offer, I think, is Eric Gordon. And I never saw an official offer, but this is what I imagine along the lines, exactly what the trade is looking like. We know for sure there's 4 first-round picks, correct? Eric Gordon's included, and I think Nene is included in that, and then it's going to be for Jimmy Butler and Gorgie Day. Now, Minnesota side, Eric Gordon helps you coming off the bench. So does Gorgie Day. But then that leaves your offense flowing through Jeff Teague, Andrew Wiggins, Karl-Anthony Towns. They're great players. I think Wiggins is the best out of the two clutch-wise. But I think Butler's good for their growth. Now, also, if you're Minnesota, I've got 4 first-round picks to stretch out through 7 years. That can end up being great players or can end up being bad players. On Daryl Morey's side, you're throwing all the chips in for one guy. No. For one guy that's not... If you're telling me Kevin Durant, if you were telling me Anthony Davis, like, make a move for a big-time player like Kawhi Leonard. Let's say he was still in the Spurs, theoretically, and he wanted to get traded still. That's when you make that type of trade. You don't make the trade for Jimmy Butler. No knock against Jimmy Butler, but I'm just saying, it's got to be a top-5 player. Butler's a... In my list, he's like a top... I'll say top 11, top 12 right now. He's a great player. Fantastic, but... I just don't think 4 first-round picks, and then you lose your spark off the bench, and then you got nobody else to spark the bench. Because Eric Gordon is a starter playing on the bench. Like, that's just the reality here. So then he'd start in Minnesota. And I don't know, man. It just doesn't seem like for either team. It seems like Minnesota would just win so much, because I don't think Houston can win the championship. I think there's so much talent in the West. I think Utah would still be able to compete if they, you know, they continue doing what they're doing. I think the Thunder will figure it out eventually. They got their first win. They're starting. They got that confidence now. They're going to figure it out. They're better than the Rockets right now. So many teams are going to knock the Rockets off if the playoffs started today. The Western Conference playoffs. And the Rockets were like the 8th seed or the 1st seed. Wherever you put them, they could get knocked off so easily. It's just, man, it's just crazy. Like this whole season and everything. How everything is going. I love it. Well, and some very good news. The Oklahoma City Thunder figured out how to win a game. They beat the Phoenix Suns, who at first, the first game of the season against the Dallas Mavericks, showed me so much and made me think, oh man, I'm right. They're going to make the playoffs. And I don't even want to talk about them. And the Bulls too. I don't even, oh my God, there's so much to talk about with my two surprise teams. Not surprising me. While I'm not ready to give up on my surprise teams yet, I can tell you this, though. It's definitely crazy that both of these teams, though, have the potential. I mean, they got a bunch of young players and stuff, and they got the potential to really be out here and really make a name for themselves in the next couple of years. It doesn't have to be instant. It's a process. I just thought the process would be this year. It would start this year for them, you know, to be able to be dominant. Not dominant, but make a name for themselves. But that's okay because, like I said, a process. It slowly, just like my page, to my podcast, everything is a process. It slowly builds up. It don't come just in one day. But I just thought throughout the course of the season, we'd see a lot better, a lot quicker. They could still surprise me. I don't want to sit down and give up on them and throw the towel and say, all right, Phoenix Suns and Chicago Bulls are booty flakes. They're not the surprise team. I could be wrong. They could pick it up, you know? With the Thunder winning their first game, though, the confidence on this team right now, they're actually playing the Clippers currently as I'm recording this, and it's crazy because Westbrook is dogging Beverly. If you remember, Beverly injured Westbrook a couple years ago, and Westbrook really has just been dealing with knee injuries ever since, and we all know that comes straight from Beverly's hit to his meniscus, which ended up tearing it, but that's okay because Westbrook is still elite, still out here, won an MVP, still Brody, still Brody. Now, The Washington Wizards. I'm interested in the Washington Wizards right now. So John Wall ended up calling out his teammates and saying they have their own agenda. And Bradley Beal said, yeah, we got our own agenda, but nobody's focused. Maybe we should just work as a team. They're just sending shots at each other. Now, everybody knows how I feel about Washington. I think they're trash. They're booty. They're not good. They're not a good team. They probably missed the playoffs this year. I've never liked John Wall. I've never liked Bradley Beal. I've never liked that duo together. I just feel like they've underachieved. And when you underachieve, I kind of just grow this type of like distance from like, I can't like you. You know? That's just the way I look at basketball. In that situation, I think, don't trade one of them. Trade both. Get those two toxic players out of your organization. Let somebody else deal with them. Let somebody else help them grow. But get whatever you can from them while they're still good before they decline in their careers. And then you can't get nothing but a couple of picks, second round pick, and some role players. Trade them while you can get stars back for them. Call Minnesota. John Wall, Bradley Beal for Jimmy Butler. And Andrew Wiggins or something. Figure it out. It's a lot you could do. There's a lot you could do here in this situation. The Cavs actually ended up winning their game during my recording. My first recording session is split into two recording sessions. But they ended up winning their first game. But they did fire Tyronn Lue. Now, this is not on Tyronn Lue at all. None of this on success. I've said this. The Cavs don't have a roster. They don't have depth. There's no star there. Kevin Love is not your guy. And he's out for like about a month. I think I read about a month or two, maybe. Something like that. Along those lines. It's like, dude, why fire Tyronn Lue? Like, there was some discord between them as far as how to play the lineup, and they fired him. Like, that's not how you run an organization, and that's simply why Cleveland is nothing without LeBron James. That's the greatness of LeBron James. Look at this team without LeBron. This is essentially the same roster. I think they added Colin Sexton and maybe, like, another player or two, like some second-round picks, and that's it. It's the same team. And they can't figure it out, so. But Ronnie Hood went off today. He scored like 26 points. Shout out to Ronnie Hood. I've been trying to get him in Miami for like years from now, but Pat Riley won't listen to me. And also, speaking of Pat Riley, I want Pat Riley out. That's my official statement. Pat Riley out of Miami ASAP, as soon as you can. If we did it tonight, I'd be a lot more comfortable. If we did it tomorrow, I'd also be a little bit more uncomfortable about it, but it's got to happen this week. By Sunday, if Pat Riley's not fired, I'm just going to make a podcast dedicated on Pat Riley and how he's actually been more of a failure than a success with us. But we don't got to get, let's not get into any of that right now. Right now, Pat Riley's on his Phil Jackson-ish, just messing up and not making the right decisions for this team. We should have been had Jimmy Butler. But we already got 3 50-point games, 7 games into the season. Almost every team has played their 7 games. 3 50-point games. The first one starts with Blake Griffin. I still hate the Clippers. The Clippers is the one team I cannot stand. I don't know why. I just don't like the Clippers. I never liked their play style. I never liked the Lob City. I never got into any of that. I never liked them. But Blake, since he's been in Detroit, especially getting coached by Dwayne Casey, want to come up, like really on the come up. You have to start analyzing differently now. When you play Blake Griffin, because Blake Griffin is now Draymond Green on crack. Like, Blake can get you buckets, Blake can get you play make, Blake can handle the ball, bring it down the floor, and Blake can shoot now. Like, Blake Griffin's virtually unstoppable. There's no way you could game plan to stop Blake Griffin, because if you stop his shot, he's going to drive him. If you stop his drive, he'll figure out to find some pick and pop situations or come off a pick and roll. You know, a lot of pick and roll action with Dwayne Casey, fake handoffs to get to the basket, just simple plays that Blake is so good at executing. He scored 50 points, 6 assists, and 14 rebounds, shooting 57% from the field and 50% from 3. That's not even crazy, though, because the next night, the Washington Wizards, dysfunctional Wizards, we gonna call them Washington because they ain't no Wizards. They ain't got, there's no magic there. There's more magic in Orlando than there is in D.C. But Stephen Curry went off, said, yo, hold my beer real quick, AD. This man went off for 51 points, 3 assists, and 4 rebounds. Smash shot 62% from the field and 68% from three. What? Man, that's not even fair. Like, I was reading that stat line, and I'm like, okay, Blake played a more overall game. But Curry shot lights out, literally. There was a point where Curry shot a three, and he made it, and Kelly Oubre literally looked, and he was just kind of trying to figure out, like, do I do? Like, you can't guard Curry. Curry's the best point guard in the game. We're just going to put that right there. I think Curry's the best point guard of the game. There's no stopping that. There's no changing my mind on that either. And our third... Oh, my God. Our third 50-point game. And I thought the Warriors couldn't get any better. Like, I really thought the Warriors were vulnerable, which technically maybe still a bit. But Klay Thompson, last night, put the league on notice. He was having a lot of shooting woes. That was not a surprise to anybody. Klay Thompson played 27 minutes last night, right out of 48 minutes. Okay? 27 minutes. Klay scored 52 points, made 14 threes, shot 58% from deep, shot 18 for 29 in total with 62% field goal. And they scored 90 first half points against the Bulls. I don't know where to start as far as Klay Thompson, but I've said this. When Klay Thompson is hot, nobody, not even LeBron James, not even Michael Jordan, is better than him. When they're hot. I'm talking about when they got the heat check moment. You know, you could give them the ball and they keep scoring. Nobody could do it like Klay Thompson. There is, like stopping Klay Thompson when he's hot is stopping LeBron James at a basket. Like, that type of difficulty. Like, when he clicks, he clicks. And he doesn't just click, though. He clicks. Like, Klay can't miss. He's an automatic bucket. Walking bucket every time. And you just gotta sit down, like, you sit down and you try to think to yourself, like, okay, I've gotta stop KD and stuff because they just scored 41 or whatever. And then Klay just comes out and does this. Like, that's obnoxious. Well, let me give you some more in-depth. Alright? In-depth stats on this 50-point game that I have ranted on. 52 points, 56 dribbles, 5 dribbles in his 14 threes made. The ball was in his hand for 96 seconds, and he did all that in 27 minutes of an NBA game. I don't know what the hell you could do to stop this Warriors team. But I definitely know what you don't do, and that's let Klay go off. Like, some surprising players for this season. Surprising starts is Kyrie's cut his hair and he's going off right now. Well, I don't want to say going off, but he's looking a lot better. Kyrie's been playing, like, really, really bad to start the season. And I am surprised. I didn't think Curry could ever go like this. But his slump, you know, prior to this game they're playing against the Pistons was 34 for 87, 39% from the field, and 7 for 29 from 3, which is 24%. And everything just kind of dropped as far as, like, his all types of percentages whatsoever. But a person that surprised me is Marcus Morris has bloomed through this. Like, that's why they've been able to kind of keep up with teams, is because Marcus Morris is going off. Now, you know, while one player struggles, the other one rises to the occasion. So, obviously, now we have to fill in Kyrie's role as we let Tatum and Brown and everybody else go off. Marcus Morris right now is shooting 50% from the field and 48% from three. He's got career-high averages in every category. Like, literally every statistical category, I think, except for points per game, by 0.2, he's off. He's career-high in everything. So, something to note. Something to keep in your little notes if you're trying to really figure out how Boston can keep this up. And how deep they are. When you have players that can go off like that for you, and you don't have to worry about your franchise player, then I don't know. I like the Warriors. Like, oh, so Steph had off night. Well, here goes Klay. Here goes.
Johnny. Oh, damn, Durant's off. All right, here goes the whole squad. It's kind of that. That's kind of just how this works, really. Zach LaVine's another one that's rise to the occasion. He's shooting 38% for three. Very impressive. He's a 37% career shooter, so that's nothing too crazy of a difference, but it's still improvement. But we're not looking at those. He's averaging 28 points a game. He's playing four more minutes than his career average, right? Comparing his now stats to his career average. All he's doing is playing four more minutes. And he has upped his scoring by 14 points, and his percentages look solid. Actually, he's a 44% field goal career-wise. He's 51% this season. Efficiency is on a whole nother level. Happy birthday, Devin Booker. Before I forget that, happy birthday to Devin Booker. A boy is a dog. Nobody can stop Devin Booker. That's my little mini KD is Devin Booker, because Devin Booker is Devin Booker. Back to LaVine. LaVine's been playing very promising. Shout out to De'Aaron Fox, though, because Fox's biggest thing coming into this draft was, I'm better than Lonzo Ball. But it's kind of like, he's really proven it this season, though. His speed is the quickest dude I've ever seen, period. Prime Rose was ever that fast. Like, he's so quick. But his biggest lacking was he didn't have a shot. So it's kind of easy to shut him down. You just got to put more like a bigger guy last season. But this season, he's using his speed on both ends of the floor, which I really like. So like on offense and defense, like he's shifting his feet so quick. And he's learned to use it to his advantage on defense to keep up with his man. He's averaging pretty top in steals. The best thing I like is he's added to his arsenal. He had this little like kind of mid-range fadeaway when he's driving in. He kind of just fades back if there's a bigger man, which very efficient. But this season, oh man, that thing is... thing is a beauty to watch. He's a guy that he could go for most improved player if he wanted to. Like seriously speaking, why can't De'Aaron Fox be most improved player? The Kings are 5-2 right now. Like, whoa. Be careful for that, man. So these are his stats so far. Right now, he's at 18 points per game. Way better than last season. He's at 7 assists per game as well. And 4 rebounds per game. Now, two things that kind of were no-nos to me and I kind of don't like. I don't like the 23% shooting from deep. And I don't like the 65% shooting from the free throw line. Why? Because if you don't have that three-pointer, that's fine. Got to have that free throw, though, because if you're going to go to the basket, if you're going to, you know, kind of X out the fact that you don't really have a shot as far as from past 15 feet, you need to be able to make your free throws because you're going to get fouled a lot like you're expected to. So I think that that mid-range also serves as a, okay, I don't want to get fouled and go to the line. I know I'm not a good shooter, so I think they game planned and he like made that shot so he doesn't have to go to the line as much and he can just prosper forward in that regard. The Kings, though, as much as backwards booty crap they've been, they've looked really impressive this year. Buddy Hield is finally blooming into the Steph Curry he was supposed to be. Willie Cauley-Stein is looking solid. Caris LeVert is another player I think we have to talk about. I'm not gonna lie, I didn't know who Caris LeVert was till this season. Let's search him up real quick. Let's learn about Caris LeVert literally on the podcast together. So he played in Michigan. 2016 first round 20th pick. Oh wait, I do know who he is. Never mind. But he's still been balling this season. Either way. 18 points per game. 4 assists. 4 rebounds. Like, that's pretty good. That's actually really, really good. Now I think about it. Actually, so I'm just trying to see his game log real quick. which is the most surprising game to me that I've ever gotten about. Oh, he's been hitting a lot of clutch shots. Brooklyn ain't good, though, sadly. But shout out to Caris LeVert. Caris, hit me up. Let's do an episode together. Podcast. Be my first NBA guest. I know things are kind of stagnant right now, but let's pick it up real quick. Let's get into some of the teams that we got to talk about. This just individually. Mike Budenholzer. I don't know what the heck he did with the Milwaukee Bucks. I don't know what he went and does in this locker room. I don't know what type of game planning. I got to watch more film. I don't know what type of schemes he's been running. But something that looked like a shattered offense looks like the best offense. Not the best offense in the league. A top offense in the league. They're 7-0 right now. Let that sink in. The Milwaukee Bucks are 7-0 right now. They're undefeated. There's no stopping Antetokounmpo. They're the only undefeated team left in the NBA. Like, are they going to win championship? No. But are they going to try free agents? Yeah. The Raptors still look solid. The Bucks, though, I think the biggest thing is Antetokounmpo doesn't have to carry the whole weight because Middleton and Brogdon and Bledsoe and Lopez have kind of been, like, all upgraded. Like, this whole team's kind of been upgraded. And he's got a lot less on his plate to do. But he still goes out and does it. That's why I love Blake Griffin so much. Blake Griffin. That's why I like Giannis so much, is because he doesn't have to go out and do it all, but he's still going to go out and do it all anyways because he's that guy. No, it's pretty simple. As far as the Pistons as well, I really like Dwayne Casey, what he's doing. I think if I'm Detroit, I'm going to go to Dwayne Casey, and whatever he needs, he's going to get. Like, do you need an extra $5 million to pick up somebody in free agency? Like, right now, like, you think I help the team? Like, go ahead and do it. Like, if I'm the owner, I bow down to Dwayne Casey right now, because just like the Bucks, if I'm the owner, I bow down to Mike Budenholzer. Those two coaches have been able to change. They're on two different teams, and they've been able to change those teams so much. Like, they already look so much better than they already did last season. It's like, what? Like, Nate McMillan, the Pacers, I thought had it. They really looked like they were really good, but they're kind of like, right now, like, I don't really know about them. Oh, and Toronto, too. Nick Nurse. Everything he took from Dwayne Casey is working. He's added his own little tweaks, and those three teams right there. And it's surprising, though, because they're the top three teams, and they all have new coaches. Obviously, there's 82 games, so this might not be the same situation, but if you think about it, like, that's kind of crazy. Like, all three of the top teams right now in the Eastern Conference all have different coaches. All have new coaches that they didn't have last season. Except for technicalities, the Raptors, because they've been had Nick Nurse, but I don't care. Honestly, I really don't. You gotta also look at Houston's defensive problem. Their problem is defense. When they figure that out, they'll be fine. So there's not much to talk about that. Boston, they're figuring it out little by little. The rotation is the problem. That was my worry. You have so much. Yeah, you're so stacked. How do you play it so everybody's happy, though? They're figuring it out, though. Brad Stevens is GOAT level. Minnesota, I already touched a lot on Minnesota. I want to touch on Utah and Quinn Snyder and why Quinn Snyder should be the coach of the year. And nobody should question this. As far as he has Grayson Allen added to his roster. And he's one of the best teams in the West, and he's probably one of the only teams that can touch Golden State right now. I don't think anybody can beat him. They could touch him. You give him a little tab, you know, hey, we're here. We're gonna play basketball. We're gonna give you some work. Like, that's about the only, and they actually play the Timberwolves tomorrow. I'm gonna be watching that game. You best believe I'll be watching that game when I get home. Excuse me. San Antonio as well as another team. DeMar DeRozan. DeMar. Do I even need it? Greg Popovich, man.
He needs to retire, man. I'm tired of watching Popovich succeed. If we got Jimmy Butler tomorrow, if Miami Heat got Jimmy Butler tomorrow, we could never integrate him into the offense. Mind you, they had all summer, but we could have all season, and Jimmy Butler still won't be like 100% ready into the system at the end of the season. There's no knock on Spoelstra, because Pat Riley really handles most of that stuff. Like, low-key, I know Pat Riley's really got most of that control. But man, come on. Popovich grabs DeMar DeRozan, who's much less of a defender, who's actually an improved defender now. He does have a three-point shot, and he's got... Man, come on. Stop playing. Look, man. NBAAlertsOfficial.com. That's where all my articles are going to be. We got a top 5 point guards collab with Casey Morgan coming out very soon. You know, the podcast. Anchor. If you don't like Anchor, go on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on... I don't even know the name of the other one. Pocket Cast. Boom. Pocket Cast. We're on Pocket Cast. Instagram. Hall of Fame Hoops. It's JL2. We out of here till the next one. Till about Saturday, Friday. I'm going to try to record twice a week. Sorry this took so long. Thank you for your patience. Everybody have a wonderful day. Stay blessed. Keep grinding. Keep dining. Keep shining.